Today's shiur is sponsored for Refuah Shlema for Rav Alter Shmuel Ben Chavaleya and Sarah Freda Bas Rezel by Debbie Sondheim, and we thank her for that and for our participation, which is actually a good lead-in to what I want to talk about today. And I'll say by way of apology at the start, there will not be an answer because there is no the answer to this question. But what does it mean, you know, when you sponsor a shiur for Refuah Shlema? What does it mean when you partner with somebody? We're gonna, you know, the main focus of the shiur is going to be on what are called Yisachar and Zevulun contracts. What does it mean? Can you buy a chelek of somebody else's reward? Can you buy a chelek of somebody else's mitzvah? Now, we understand when we give money that there's a mitzvah of tzedakah. And so, you know, of course it works. And of course it's a zchus and it's a lovely thing. But is there something beyond that? Is there something, just to use a good word, something magical that when I enter into a contract with, a kolel, somebody who's going to learn Torah, when I sponsor something, is there something above and beyond that tzedakah that I'm giving that gives me, you know, double word score, an extra schar? Okay, these arrangements, and that's what the tie into this week's parsha was, but something I was always been interested in. These arrangements are called Yisachar Zvulun contracts, at least the arrangements with respect to Talmud Torah, and they're fascinating to me. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece on that. He spoke about it again this week. It's something that comes up from time to time. And it's something I want to sort of expand on to try to understand what our role is in other people's lives or what their roles in ours. And finally, to come to the question of what does it really mean to daven for somebody else? What's the idea behind it? How effective is it? So again, I have no answers, but I have a lot of good ideas and some real sources. So let's start. Let's start in this week's parsha. Okay. The bracha that Yaakov gives to his, we think of almost them as almost being twins, Yisachar and Zevulun. So Yaakov says, Zevulun lechof yamim yishkon, v'hu lechof anios v'yarchaso al tzidon. Zevulun lives on the coast, on the seaboard, and he travels lechof anios, he travels on boats, means he goes on business trips a lot. Okay, and Rashi right there says, this week's parsha, Shehayaz Zvulun Oseg Prakmatia. Zvulun was involved in business. Umamtsi Mazon Leshevet Yisachar. And he supported Shevet Yisachar Vehem Oskim Batora. Okay, and this is well known in Chazal. It's less clear in the Psukim. Zvulun went to business and they had some, they supported Yisachar who learned Torah all the time. Who shall mar Moshe? And he quotes the psukim from Zos Habracha. Smach Zevulun b'tzeisach v'yisachah v'olecha. Zevulun yosef b'prakmatia v'yisachah osek b'torah ba'ohalim. Okay, so what do we have here from the first source? Not a lot. It seems like, okay, Zevulun made money. They donated money to Yisachah. They supported Yisachah who learned Torah. Presumably, this is a function of Staka. We don't see anything more than that. Okay, Yisachar, Zvulun got a mitzvah of staka by giving money to Yisachar, and Yisachar, in return for the money, was able to not go to do business, but was able to sit and learn. In Vizos HaBracha, when the similar bracha comes up, Rashi is slightly different. Source number two, there the pasuk says, V'li Zvulun amar smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar bo'alecha. Here, the pasuk really twins them, right? Be joyous, Zevulun, b'tzeitecha, with your going out, which we understand to be business. V'yisachar b'ohalecha. And Yisachar, you should be happy with your portion, which is sitting in a tent or sitting in a beis medrash and learning Torah. Here, Rashi's slightly different. Smach, Zevulun, b'tzeitecha, v'yisachar b'ohalecha. Zevulun v'yisachar asu shutfut. They made a partnership. Right? It's not just staka, they made a partnership. Zivulun lechof yamim yishkon v'yotzei leprakmatia bisfinos umistaker. Zevulun goes out on boats and makes money. V'nosein l'soch piv shel Yisachar, and he gives the money to Yisachar. V'hein yoshvim v'oskim b'Torah, and they sit and learn Torah. L'fikach hiktim Zevulun l'Yisachar, so Zevulun comes first. Shetorah so shel Yisachar al yidei Zevulun haisa, because the merit or the Torah that Yisachar learned, they were only able to do because of the support of Zevulun. Okay, so in our parsha, Rashi just talks about Zevulun supporting Yisachar. Presumably, that's a mitzvah of tzedakah. But here in Vizos HaBracha, he says, Zevulun v'Yisachar asu shutfut. They made a partnership, which makes you think that there's something much more going on in that relationship than just the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, which allows us to talk about these, what are called Yisachar Zevulun contracts, and then how they apply elsewhere. But of course, I actually have a personal Yisachar Zevulun story, which I will share quickly, so we don't waste too much time on it. Many years ago, I was a baby lawyer. This is a true story, I promise you. Okay, if you remember, the Skver Hasidim got into trouble with the government somehow. I'm sure it was anti-Semitism. Anyway, the Rebbe put these three nice guys in charge of the cover-up, and they were clients of our firm, and they were I used to meet with them. Okay, lovely guys. You could only reach them by pager in those days. One day, the receptionist calls me and says, Mr. Weber, there's three people waiting for you in reception. So I say, I don't have any meetings. Who are they? Now they say, when you come down, you'll meet them, you'll know who they are. I come down, there's three Hasidim sitting in reception. And they say, I don't know who they are. They say that they're from New Square. So I say, did we have an appointment? No. Okay, fine. I take them into a conference room. After 3 minutes, I realize it's a cold call, right? Meaning they're here to raise money. They got my name, however they got it. The other guys apologize later. Okay. So they start explaining to me how important all this is, and they take out a Yisachar Zevulun contract, the first one I'd ever seen in my life. And the guy explains it to me very slowly, obviously, because otherwise I won't understand, that I could give money, I could support people in learning, and then it would be as if I myself learned. What do I think of this idea? I say, this is fantastic. Would I be interested? I say, I'm more than interested. It's the greatest thing ever. So they start talking about the details. So I said, no. What am I supposed to learn and how much will you pay me? So they said, you didn't understand exactly. So I said, I understand completely. If I learn, right, I could give my schar to somebody and you'll pay me. I said, I very much want to learn, except I feel like I have to make a living. But if you could support me, that would be great. Okay, anyway, I had a good time. I had to give them money in the end because it was so much fun. And just even better, in the end, sadly, these three guys went to jail. But in a happy story, which is current events now, President Bill Clinton pardoned them. Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't have time now. Later on, I can tell you how that happened. Another great story. But okay, people, Yisachar Zevulun is a real thing. Around with these contracts. And so what exactly is going on? So let's start. There's not a lot. There's a Gemara that starts to hint at it, and then you'll see it in Halacha. Let's start in source 3. It's a strange Gemara. The Gemara in Sota, Chaf Aleph on Aleph says, what does the Pasuk mean in Shir HaShirim? Im yiten ish kal hon beso boz yavozu lo. If you give everything, they'll make fun of you. You'll be a disgrace. What in the world does that mean? Amar Ula, lo kishimon achi Azaria. Not like Shimon, the brother of Azaria. Velo k'Rab Yochanan devei Nasiya. Not like Rab Yochanan, who was the Nasi. Ela kihilel v'shevna. It's referring to the relationship between Hillel v'shevna. Why? D'chiyasa rabdimi amar, Hillel v'shevna achi havu. Hillel and Shevna had a close relationship. Maybe they were brothers. Hillel asak b'torah. Hillel learned Torah. Shevna avad iska. Shevna was a businessman. L'sof amar le, at the end, Shevna says to Hillel, who we know is a very poor man, but a huge Talmud Chacham, obviously, Tanaro v'liflog. He said, I'll give you money and split with me the schar that you'll get for your Torah. Yatsisa baskol v'amra imitenish eskalhon beso boz yavozulo. you can't do this. If you give all your money, it will still be humiliating, or you'll be humiliated. What's going on? So Rashi in the beginning of Zvachim explains what's going on. Source number four, Shimon Achi Azariah. Where's that name come from? Al Shem Sha'azariah Osak B'Prakmatia. Azariah went to business. V'sipeg Tzorchei Shimon Achav, and he supported Shimon, his brother. B'Sha'asha Haya Osek B'Torah, when Shimon was learning Torah. V'hisnu B'Nehem Shehei Chelek La'Azariah B'Schar Talmudo Shel Shimon. And they agreed between them that Azariah, who's supporting Shimon, will get part of the merit, right? He'll get Schar Talmudo Shel Shimon. Kidam Rinan Besota. As the Gemara in Source 3 mentioned, Imiteni Shes Kolhon Beso, Lo Kishimon Achi Azariah, Lefikach Nikra Al Shmo Shelamad Al Yado. I'll explain. What Rashi is saying is the following. Why does one arrangement work and it's praiseworthy and you can get the reward for somebody else's learning, and the other example you can't? The difference is that Shevna came to Hillel after Hillel had learned and said, here, I'll give you money, and in return, you give me merit for your Talmud Torah. Says the Gemara, that doesn't work. But if you make a deal in advance, I'll support you in learning, and you give me sechar, it seems like, based on this Gemara, that it would work. Again, the distinction being, one is prospective. You get together with the guy, you make a deal. I'll support you in learning. You give me merit for your learning. That seems to work. But the reverse, which is you show up one day with money and you say, let me buy the merit of, you know, your last month's learning or your last year's learning. Then the Gemara says, boz yavozu lo. The assumption being you can't buy somebody else's merit. You could partner with him. That would be in advance, right? You can't become a partner after the deal is done. Okay, so that seems to be the distinction in the Gemara. It just dawned on me, you know, the Rambam is very, very against people being supported in learning. Okay, I'm making this up. I'm not sure that it's true. Well, that's a fact. I know. The Rambam was very against people being supported in learning. But the history is, the Rambam had a brother named David who was a merchant. And when he died in an accident, he went with Prakmatia, Bisfinos. He traveled on a boat. The boat went down. You know, the Rambam describes the pain that he felt. But more than that, that's when the Rambam had to become a doctor because he had been supported by his brother. And I have no way to know, and I've never read anything that said they had some kind of official Yisachar and Zevulun relationship, but it's clear that, you know, they had a relationship that allowed the Rambam to learn full time. And when the brother died tragically, that had to change. Okay, how does this play out in Halacha? So we have this idea in a bunch of Rashis in this week's Parasha and Vezos Habracha. And we have a strange Gemara in Sota. How does it play out in Halacha? So source number five. First thing you have to notice that in Shulchan Aruch, the idea is going to be brought in Hilchos Talmud Torah, not in Hilchos Tzedakah. And it's important for us to read the whole thing because the context is critical, I think. So this is the first Halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Reish Mem Vav says the Mechaber, Kol Ish Yisrael Chai. Bein ani, bein ashir, bein shalem, begufo, bein bal yisurim, whether you're rich or poor, you're healthy, you're not healthy, bein bachur, bein zaken gadol, you're young, you're old, and now, afilu ani amechazel psachim, even if you're poor, and the worst thing, afilu bal isha ubanim, right? Even if you're married and you have children, which presumably gets in the way of learning, chayav likvoa lozman l'talmud Torah b'yom uvalayla. There's no exceptions. Everybody has to establish a time for learning day and night. Shenema v'agisabo yom v'olayla. Pasuk in Yoshua. U'bishas hadchak. But if you can't, for whatever reason, says the, this is not really the halacha, which no one likes to talk about. Afil lo ka ra kriya shema shachas v'arvas. Even if you only said shema morning and night, still you yotze the mitzvah. Okay, and now. U'mi she'ief shalo lumod. What if a person, he's illiterate, he simply doesn't know how to learn? Or because he's really, really, you know, he's really, really busy. He has so many things he has to deal with. Says the Mechaber, Yaspik la'acherim halomdim. such a person can support other people in learning. And the sense you get is that somehow that might still be a kiyum of Talmud Torah. Let's be clear. It's a bidyeved, right? Says the Mechaber, everybody has to learn no matter what. He covers all the bases. Everybody has to learn. Then he says, okay, but if you can't learn because your life is such that prevents you from learning, and, you know, in our experience, mostly that's a result of choices we make, then yaspik la'acherim halomdim. You should support other people who learn. And again, in the context, it sounds like you could argue and say, nah, it's just a din of tzedaka. Well, you can't do Talmud Torah, do tzedaka. But I think in the context, it sounds like there is some kind of kiyum of Talmud Torah. It's a little unclear. Hagah comes the Ramah. V'techashev lo ki'ilu lo made ba'atzmo. The Ramah takes all the doubt away. If you support somebody in learning, says the Ramah, it will be like you learned. V'yachol adam, and now comes to us. V'yachol adam lehatznot im chavero. You're allowed to make a deal with your friend. Shehu ya'asok ba'torah. Your friend will learn Torah. V'hu yamtzi lo parnasa v'yachlo kimo ha'sachar. And you'll support your friend in his learning. V'yachlo kimo ha'sachar. It could be you'll share 50-50. It could be you'll get a portion. But here the Ramah says definitively that you can get a portion of his Torah. And here comes the point we want. Aval im kfar osak ba'torah. If he already did the learning, eino yachol limkor lo chelko bishvil mamon sheitnu lo. You cannot take the merit of your Talmud Torah and give it to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. The Ramah doesn't explain why, but the Ramah says, put it in our terms, you can enter into a Yisachar Zevulun contract, but it has to be prospective. It has to be, okay, I'm going to support you in your learning for the next period of time, and in return for my support, I'll get a chelek of your schar. But you can't do it after the fact, right? The guy needs money. You can't come to him and say, I'll give you money in return for the schar that you got for learning this past week, this past month, this past year. Says the Ramah, that doesn't work. Okay? The question is why? And the question is, what exactly is going on in these Yisachar Zvulun relationships where somehow it seems like this huge chiddush, you can get a chelek in Talmud Torah which you didn't learn, which again may come back to the question we started with about like sponsorship of this shiur. Like, what does it mean exactly? So let's start to try to understand the two possibilities with the Tshuvas Maharam Alshiker. Now, I'm guessing not a lot of people know who the Maharam Alshiker is, so I could make jokes that everybody should know, but the truth is I didn't know either. The value of this tshuva, which is quoted by Rav Asher and anybody who writes on this, is that it's not a tshuva of Maharam Alshiker, who, by the way, lived in the 1500s in Tzfat after living in Egypt and Spain. All it is basically is a quote from Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon, you know, maybe the greatest Gaon, lived in the 900s. Okay, I don't know what happened to his tshuva, but it exists in this tshuva of Maharam Alshiker, and that's where everybody quotes it. So here we go, source number 6. Od Sha'alta, you asked. Mamash be'otan shem mochrim zichuyotehem zelazeh. Is there really something to people who trade or sell their merits? Im zacha hakone o hifsid hamocher. Right? Did the purchaser, the person who pays money, did he really get the merit? And or does that mean that the seller lost his merit? Ve'im pu'ulazo yesh la'ikar. Is there any source or justification for doing this in halacha? So he says, tshuva. Here's the answer. Lo matzati makom ledavar zeh. I didn't find this any place. Ki im b'tshuva she'ela l'rabbeinu haigon zal. It was once asked of Rav Haigon. V'ra'iti lehatik ota lecha u'misham tavin ikaron shel divrehem. He says, I'm just going to give you the tshuva of Rav Haigon, and that will explain to you the fundamentals of this issue. And here it comes. Okay, zeh lishono. Everybody has a second line. Mishehu noheg lehitanot sheni v'chamishi. a person who fasts every Monday and Thursday. Pretty cool. Ubisof oto azman amar kabol sachar hatan kibul sachar hatanit hazeh yihyeh leploni matana. The person says, I'm now donating the merit of my fasting. I fasted Monday and Thursday for the last month. I want the merit for my fasting to go to X. By the way, or in our context, I want the merit of fasting to be for refuah shlema for X. Right? I'm not fasting for me. I want the whatever merit I get for fasting, I want it to go to somebody else's credit. Here, just to notice, it doesn't seem like anybody's buying it. It's just the person out of his own goodwill is doing an act, and he wants that act to count for somebody else's merit. Here's Rav Haigon. It's not the full thing, because it was too long. This is just the pieces. Tshuva, kach ra'inu, ki divarim elu divrei havel. Okay, don't get upset yet. Rav Haigon says nonsense. She'ein lismoch alehem. You can't rely on such things. Ve'eich ya'ale alev, ki scharo shel zeh shel ma'asim tovim she'asa zeh lazeh. How could you think that you could take the merit of some act and apply it as and how you wish? V'halo akatuv omer, sidkat hatzadik alav tihiyah. The pasuk says, if you're a tzadik, the merit of your actions may, go to you, the tzadik. V'chein amar, v'rishat harasha alav tihiyah. Similarly, if you're a Rasha, so you get treated as a Rasha. Kishem she'ein adam nitpas ba'avon zulato, just like you can only be punished for your own sins, kach ein adam zoche bizchut zulato. Similarly, you can only be rewarded for your own actions. Hayachshov ki matan scha shel mitzvot davar she'yisa'uhu adam b'cheiko v'yelech kidei she'yitein zeh matan scharo lezeh. Does anybody think, says Rav Haigon, that the merit for mitzvos is some kind of currency and you put it in your wallet and you walk around and you give it out as and how you see fit? He says that can't be. Aval. Okay, skipped a bunch. Aval, he says. Second line where the cursor is. Vadai misha notein sachar lelamed. But he says a different case. Again, his original case was you did a mitzvah, and now you want to apply the merit of that mitzvah to somebody else. He says, no, it doesn't work that way. On the other hand, he says, if you give money to a teacher to teach Torah or to support him, mashein tzrichim umalamdim, yeshlo sachar gadol bikach, that gets you merit. V'hamalamed atzmo pa'amim yeshlo sachar, pa'amim ein lo sachar. He says, sometimes a teacher gets rewarded, sometimes not. He says, let's say you fed a poor person or a chacham, and now in return you want a bracha. He says, yesh lo sachar al kach, v'yesh lo hana'a b'kach, ki birkat oto ani o oto chacham. He says, whatever they bless you, you can be blessed for that. V'chein ha-misa'ed me'kayne mitzvot. You open up a soup kitchen for people who do mitzvot, k'dei she'yuchlu le'kayem, so that they can do mitzvot. Yesh lo sachar al kach, v'lahem biyoter, mi she'ozer isukav b'torah uva mitzvot, yesh lo sachar. He says, but if you do something, right, and your support actually allows something to happen, your support actually contributes to a mitzvah, then you get rewarded. Umishem masi atzmo liknot sachar chavero b'damim b'matana lavoz hu v'lag. But a person who tries to purchase somebody else's merit, that's humiliating, that's embarrassing, and that's without any support. So let's recap. Basically, Rav Haigon, and I assume that's where the Rama got it, Rav Haigon says as follows. In terms of you did a mitzvah and now you want to apply that mitzvah to somebody else's bank account, Rav Haigon says there's no such thing. You want to be a tzaddik, do good deeds, you'll be judged as a tzaddik. You do bad deeds, you're a Rasha, you'll be judged as a Rasha. But he says there's another circumstance. And that other circumstance is not that you're trying to buy a person's merit. That you can't do. The other circumstance is you're actually doing something constructive, right? You're supporting a person who maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to learn. You're supporting an institution that maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to exist. And so you're not asking for somebody else's reward. You're actually doing something. The act itself is praiseworthy.
Ali, can you clarify a point? You said if someone has to do something to get something back. So what happens if you pray for someone who's not entitled to something?
Okay, so we'll get there. First of all, I'll tell you now, I don't know the answer, but I have ideas that I'm happy to share, but only at the end. First, I want to do the stuff that actually, you know, is supported in sources. Then we can speculate. So take an example. Okay, so I drive somebody, because I'm a tzaddik, obviously, who can't, you know, to do nichum aveilim. Now, what's my reward? I did not go in. I don't know the person. I did not do nichum aveilim. Am I entitled to a mitzvah of nichum aveilim? So I think that Rav Haigon would say yes, because the nichum aveilim wouldn't exist without you. Had you not driven this person, right? You would not. The person would not have done the mitzvah. So, you know, is the mitzvah that you get nichum aveilim? Is the mitzvah that you get, you know, v'ahavta l'recha kamoch? Who cares, right? It's a waste of time, I think, to figure out exactly. I know it's a good deed, and I know that it's rewarded by God. That I know. On the other hand, you know, the person calls you up and you go, no, you know, I can't drive you. Okay. So the person has to take a cab. Then you feel bad. When the person comes back, you say, how much did the cab cost? So they tell you. So you go, I'm going to give you the money. And in return, I'll get a chelek of your schar for the nichum aveilin. So then Rav Haigon would say, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't buy schar. There's no shortcuts. There's no tricks. And I'll say more. If you drive a person to nichum aveilim, you know who you are? You're a person who drives a person to nichum aveilim. That makes you a tzaddik, you know, in the narrow sense. That makes you a good person. You get rewarded for that. But if after the fact, you know, you feel bad, or if after the fact you just, you know, want to get the schar of nichum aveilim, so you pay for the cab, I think Rav Haigon would say that's not how a religion works. There are no shortcuts. Now, the in-between case, I think, is interesting, right? The person calls you up and you say, listen, I can't drive you, but I'm happy to pay for a cab. Right? My sense is, I'm making this up, but my sense is, yeah, that gets you a chelek in the mitzvah, because that's tzedakah that supports a real, you know, valuable mitzvah action. That's not a trick. Okay, now, there's one other point to add, which is I'm assuming that there's no difference between, you know, mitzvahs in general and Talmud Torah. But it could be that, say it in, you know, in Lumdus terms, it could be that Yisachar Zvulun is a chidush in Talmud Torah, right? It's the only place where you can actually share in the reward for an action you didn't do. But, you know, maybe it doesn't apply in other cases. It's hard to know. But what's clear is within Rav Haigon, and Rav Haigon is a dominant position, within Rav Haigon, there's no real tricks. There's no purchase of merit. There's no selling of merit. Okay, you can't, you know, buy a person's Gan Eden. You can't buy a person's Gan. You can't do any of that stuff. God rewards, you know, goodness, and God punishes evil. If you do something good, you get rewarded. If you don't, you know, if you do something bad, you get punished. And there's no separate world of merit that can be bought and sold. Okay. Now, last piece of Yisachar Zevulun is a sheet of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who had a fascinating view on this whole idea of Yisachar Zevulun contracts. I will read one line. It's a really long tshuva, which I didn't finish. Source number 7, says Rav Moshe, V'kevon shehu inyan kinyan mitzvos limudat Torah, v'yidiyata la'atzmo yesh al zeh shivui, v'hashivui hu sheyihiyu shnehem shutafim b'chol inyanei harivachim. Says Rav Moshe, fascinating. He says, if you want to get schar of another person's Talmud Torah, you have to be a partner with him. You have to be a full partner with him, which means you are full partners b'chol inyanei harivachim. I will explain because it's incredible. What Rav Moshe says is you want to do a Yisachar Zvulun deal, you don't put up money. You make him your partner. And he gets 50% of whatever you earn for the period of time in which you committed to him. And presumably, you get 50% of the schar for his Talmud Torah. But Rav Moshe is clear. It's not a din in staka. It's some fancy new idea, some fancy new chiddush that doesn't, you know, the rules don't apply. So for example, Rav Moshe says, really fascinating, the learning guy can get more money than he needs. It's not a din in staka. Okay, he needs, you know, $1,000 a month to live. Says Rav Moshe, he could do a deal for $3,000 a month, for 10, it doesn't matter, because it's a Yisachar Zvulun contract. It's not staka. He also thinks there's no dine kedima. For example, in staka, right, if a family member, God forbid, needs money, that person comes before other people, then neighbors come before, right, then Jews, not. He's none of those rules apply. You could make a din, a Yisachar Zvulun contract, you know, with a guy far away from you, because again, it's a special din, and it's not just the rules of tzedaka. Okay? So much for Yisachar Zvulun. Again, Yisachar Zvulun applies, it seems like, only to Talmud Torah. It applies only prospectively. There's no such thing as buying a person's merit, right? You have to contribute to something good that happened. And according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, who is a sort of a shitas yachid here, but still, it's not even a din of tzedakah. It's not tzedakah plus, it's something else. And it requires a full partnership. Okay, Rav Asher Weiss has an interesting theory, and it's funny, in his side of the world, he gets more questions from Yisachars than Zvulun's. And apparently, Yisachars are extremely concerned that they want the money, but they don't want to give up the schar of their learning. Okay, I guess I could understand that. So his idea is, and it's really very compelling. He says, what's the difference between Yisachar Zvulun and staka? He says, well, staka shows up when it shows up. Okay, but a person who's learning, so if you're learning and you're really worried about your mortgage and you're worried about paying your bills, it takes a toll on you. He says, when a person shows up and says, I will support you for the next month, for the next 6 months, for the next year, your learning is better. You can now learn uninterrupted because you're not worried about how you're going to pay your mortgage. And therefore, the way he sees it, it's kind of like being a chavrusa, right? The chavrusa help, each one helps the other one to learn. So you never say to yourself, to the chavrusa, hey, you know, are you guys splitting the schar of Talmud Torah? No, each of you gets your own schar of Talmud Torah. So he suggests that therefore, with respect to Yisachar Zvulun, the Yisachar doesn't lose any schar because there's more schar to go around because Zvulun becomes like his chavrusa and they don't have to trade and they don't have to split the schar. Okay, ad kidei kach, that he said that in his nusach, he has a shtar, you know, of Yisachar Zvulun time to time. And he says that in his shtar, it says clearly that Yisachar doesn't lose any schar for the deal he's doing with Zvulun, and you should look in his in Minchas Asher, this Simon, you know, and that's the rule that applies. And he said, I don't know if it's true, but you know, it's a contract. So that's the deal.
Ellie, from a philosophical point of view, it makes sense because Torah is like Aish. And if Aish, if you light it, can't light another candle, you don't diminish the first candle.
You're getting all Hasidish in your old age, Jackie. But of course it's right. Okay. Let's move on to something else. Let's move on more now to merits of good actions and ultimately to davening for other people. So So source number eight. Here's a Shulchan Aruch. We're so used to certain things. I grew up in a place like this. Source number eight. In Hilchos Shabbos, says the Rama, Yesh omrim debemakom shenoagim litein likro b'torah mishaberach. He says, see, some people say that, you know, in shuls where they make mishaberachs, by the way, I'm genuinely hopeful that one of the positives for Corona is that we're going to dump the mishaberachs. But okay, we'll see how that plays out. Say they vinoder litztaka ola chazan, right? In the shtibel that I grew up in, it wasn't that they just you made a mishaberach, but they said you babu sheyite, and you had to say like an amount. So says the Rama, da asur b'shabas livso kama yitein. It's really asur to announce an amount of staka on Shabbos. It's smacks of mekach u'memkar business. He says v'haminhagla hakel. He says, really, you know, you probably shouldn't do it, but the minhag is otherwise, because it's to raise money, right? We don't do, and when I was a kid, we used to have appeals on Shabbos from time to time, not every Shabbos, you know, and you announced how much you were giving. So it seems like mitzad adin, that's questionable, but because it's for tzedakah, you do it. But it means the Rama was aware and, you know, didn't disagree with this idea of giving tzedakah for the merit of other people, right? That's a minhag that's existed, obviously, since the 1500s, probably well before. Similarly, says the Magen Avraham in source number 9, Kasav Hayam Shel Shlomo in Beitza, Hachrozas HaMitzvah. What's Hachrozas HaMitzvah? It's an auction. Mi sheyitein yoter, Hu yizkeba, right? Again, they're in Kal Chasim Yushalayim, they auction off the aliyahs, they fakoifen the aliyahs every Shabbos. And they do it in Yiddish, and it's good. That's how I learned my Yiddish. Okay? So what is that? Says the Magen Avraham, Dami tfei lemekach umemka. Really, seems like the kind of thing you shouldn't do on Shabbos, because it's business. Vahayanira le'esar. It seems like he's saying, I'd like to prohibit it. Unless we want to say there's no such thing as business with respect to a mitzvah. Okay, it's true. You have to buy dalad minim. That's business. But he says in terms of the merit of a mitzvah, here too, the Magen Avraham says, I'm doing my best to support a minhag, but I don't like it. Okay, but what happens when you buy an aliyah? So I think the short answer is absolutely nothing. You gave tzedakah. You gave tzedakah to the shul. But my sense is, you know, oh, let's say you bought an aliyah, but now because you're a tzaddik, you give it to somebody else. I don't think that you get a chelek in his birchas haTorah. I think it's just a way to raise money via tzedakah. And, you know, there's nothing terrible about it. You get to do it publicly. People are likely to give more money. And somebody gets to do a mitzvah with your money. But I don't think anybody thinks that if you buy shlishi for somebody, you get a chelek in shlishi. It's a favor. It's a nice thing that you did. It's like buying a present for anybody. And it's even better because the money you gave is money for tzedakah. But that's the extent of it. Okay, let's go on. It's discussed in many, many places. Let's go on to the Tzitz Eliezer in source number 10. The Tzitz Eliezer lived into the 21st century, I believe. He was like a contemporary major Haredi posek in Israel. A lot of health issues he dealt with. He was a posek for Shaarei Tzedek. Here's what he says. He has a long discussion about this. And he says there's two views. Okay, we'll start with the second view. He says, let me give you the Sfar HaFucha. Mimasha kasav lomar hameshiv davar. I'm going to say the opposite of what I skipped. Vuhu. Ki b'ma'asim tovim vadai ein yachol limkar. You can't sell ma'asim tovim. If you did a mitzvah, that's great. But you can't sell it to somebody else. Ki ein olam haba shelo. You don't own your olam haba. It's not an asset. V'rak b'tora hayasalka daitach sheyachol limkar. Mishum de echad shalom matora dilehu. He says it could be that Yisachar Zvulun contracts or that idea works with respect to Talmud Torah, because once you learned it, it's your Torah. Okay? V'lachay nakat harama b'lashon Torah l'rabusa. Da'af bezel lo mahani mechira al she'avar. Therefore, the Ramah said, even with respect to Torah, you can't sell past learning. You can only sell future learning. Umi kol she'kein b'masim tovim. And he thinks, obviously, the Ramah would say, you cannot sell masim tovim at all. Okay, that's bad for us. Because all of us, me included, sometimes do mitzvahs and say to ourselves, you know, I want this mitzvah to go for the merit of. Okay? But a mitzvah that you've done or that you're going to do, he says, what does that have to do with your friend? And if you just want to deal with the reward, no, we don't think that we get rewarded in this world, and we don't think we can apply reward in this world to somebody else. Okay, we'll stop there. So the Tzitz Eliezer takes a pretty firm view on what I would call, again, there is another view, which I didn't read, because the other view is, yeah, it's a skula, you could do it, we don't know exactly how it works, but somehow it does work. The Tzitz Eliezer says, no, he doesn't think so. He doesn't think you could trade merit. He doesn't think you can apply merit for one action to somebody else. Okay, which is something that makes sense to us intellectually, but it's frustrating to us emotionally, because we all do it.
So after he was nifta, nobody learned Mishnayos le'ilui nishmaso.
Is that true?
No, I'm just saying l'shitaso, that would be the case.
What a mean thing. Okay, we'll come back to it. We're going to be melamed zchus on the Tzitz Eliezer and all of us. But first, let's be clear that there are things that we do that we assume Orthodox Jews have done forever, and it's not true. And it's not true because we live in a world, and Henry, do not interrupt me. We live in a world in which, you know, we like to believe in shortcuts. I'm not saying Henry doesn't believe in shortcuts. But I'm saying we like to believe in skulos. We like to believe that there are things that if you just do X, Y, and Z, you know, you could fix it. Here's the Rambam in source number 11. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, by the way. Says the Rambam, Halochesh al Hamaka. You whisper over a wound. V'korei pasuk min haTorah. Okay, there's like a magical pasuk you could read that will help the person recover. V'chein haKorei al haTinok shelo yivat. You know, there's certain psukim that you should read if the baby's crying a lot, but you want to go to sleep. So there's some psukim you could read that will make the baby fall asleep. V'hamaniach sefer Torah o tefillin al hakatan b'shvil sheyishan. Somebody gave you a skula, you know, if you put tefillin in the crib, the kid will sleep. Says the Rambam, lo dai lohem shehem b'chlal menachshim v'chovrim. This is a form of avodah zarah. They're soothsayers, they're card readers, they're palm readers, all things are usher. Ela shehein bichlal hakofrim batorah. They're kofrim. Why? Shehein osim divrei Torah rifuot haguf. Because they're using Torah as a means, right? If I just do these things, I can fix the person. Ve'einan ela rifuot nefeshot. But Torah is for your soul. It's not for your health. Okay? And then the Rambam says, but I can't even explain this. Aval habarisha kara psukim. Umizmorei tehilim, kidei shetagen alav zchut kriyatan v'inatzel mitzarot minizakim hareze mutar. The Rambam says you can't do these things to cure a person, but a person who's healthy, who wants to say tehilim to help him to remain healthy, that's mutar. And in case you think the Rambam is exaggerating, here's the Mechaber, source number 12. Halochesh al hamaka o halachole. Same thing, you whisper for a sick person or over a wound, v'rokek v'achakach korei pasuk min haTorah, you spit and then you read a pasuk from the Torah, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. You know, you're out. V'meino rokek, if you don't spit, isura mi ani ika, there's still an isser. V'meyesh bo sakanat nefashot hakol mutar. But if the person is deathly ill, it's all mutar. I have no idea what to do with that. But the Shulchan Aruch also struggles through this. And one more, here's the Ramah in Yoredeya. Yesh omim shemi sheyesh lo chole beveito yelech etzel chacham shebeir sheyivakesh alav rachamim. Some people say if somebody's sick in your house, you can go to somebody to daven for him. So too, it's a minhag to bless sick people in shul. Maybe it's a communal mishaverach, or likra lahem shem chadash, to call him a new name. Ki shanui shinui hashem koreh gzardin, because changing a name can sometimes change the gzardin. There are many other places we could point to where this kind of tension exists. On the one hand, Torah is not a shortcut. On the one hand, it can't be the case, and I won't even read the Bisela Chachman in source number 14, but basically he says, I can't resist. Litmoa al minhag Yisrael lomar tehilin avur chole. He says, I don't understand, where did the minhag start to say tehillim for sick people? V'halo asur lehitrapot b'divrei Torah. You're not allowed to cure people through magical incantations, including tehillim. So he answers, and here's the real point. No, that's dafka al pi derech segula. That's when, if you think that, oh, sick people, I should say 4, 29, and 116, those three kapitlach of tehillim combined, that's a cure for this disease. No, aval bekavanashi itrape bizchut haTorah mutar. But if your intention is that the sick person should become better because of the Torah that's being learned for them, then it's mutar.
How about vino volcano? That whole thing of vino volcano.
Right. Henry, I ask you, please let me make the point. I know you hate what I'm saying.
I love it.
Let me make the point. This gets to the bigger question. The bigger question is, how do we daven for anybody else anyway? How does that work? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know that that person was sick. Presumably HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu either wanted it to happen, God forbid, or allowed it to happen. Where does our ability to pray for other people come from? And here I think this is the point. And it's way too good for me to have thought of it on my own. I just don't know where I got it. Okay, but here's the point. We think to ourselves, how does a chola daven? What's the purpose of a chola davening for him or herself? The answer is that davening or doing mitzvos or doing good deeds is a way of becoming a better version of yourself. And it's the substantive way of changing your name. Changing your name is a joke. Right? It's just an external thing. But what you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the following. You gave, corona to the person I used to be. But I'm not that person anymore. I've made myself a better person. I've made myself a different person. Therefore, it shouldn't apply to me. And you make yourself a better person by davening, by saying tehillim, by doing ma'asim tovim. All of those things and more than that. Okay, that's the sick person. What about us? What about the other people? So the answer is as follows. And let's do it in the worst possible case. Okay, God forbid somebody in your family gets cancer. In a certain way, all of you got it. Your whole lives have just been turned upside down. No one ever gets sick just themselves, right? When a person becomes sick, the spouse, the children, the parents, it affects everybody. And so the theory is, when other people daven, of course they're davening for the chola. When other people learn, of course they're learning for the chola. But at the same time, they're doing their part. Their part of the disease, of the illness, the gzer was on them as well. And so they're able to get rid of their part of the disease by davening. Of course, they're trying to daven to make the other person better. But in trying to make another person better, you're becoming better. Everybody knows this. When somebody close to you is sick, you become more religious, if you're a religious person to begin with, because you want to do something. You want God to look at you favorably. And so the answer is the disease, the gzera of the disease spreads to the family, and therefore the family can daven. What about other people? To the extent that you're connected to the chola, to the extent that you're hurt by the news and you're sad and you went to high school with her and you, whatever it is, you too are part of the gzera of the disease, and you too can roll the gzeira back, or at least your portion. There's a huge difference. I want to be careful how I say this. I don't know what it means to rattle off 50 names, you know, as part of a tefillah. It's nice. It makes people feel good. But my understanding is, you know, davening for somebody is because you're connected to that person. And I think the closer you are to the person, the more right you have to daven, and the more effective your tefillah is. It's not just some name, you know. Now, maybe you could be the kind of Jew who loves every Jew. And it doesn't matter that you don't know the person. You're so hurt that, you know, that somebody in Ohio has cancer and they have, you know, all these things that are going on in their lives, that you daven for them. But when you daven for them, it's not magic. Just like when you give tzedakah for them, it's not magic. When you do other mitzvahs for them, it's not magic. There's no shortcuts. If you become a better person by doing all of these things, by fasting, by saying tehillim, by learning extra, if you become a better person, yes, then you're part of the disease. You can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'm bothered by the fact that this person's sick, and it's not fair because look how well I'm doing. And if 10 people do it, if 100 people do it, the whole family does it, then it works. And so saying tehillim works not as a trick. The idea that if you combine these tehillims together with the following song and some Yehi Ratzon, you know, God magically, no, God is not a, you know, a cash machine. We don't make demands on God. All we could do is try to be better. Now, the things that we do are things that make us better, but it's the becoming a better person that helps heal the sick person. It's becoming a better person that helps fix the situation. And it's feeling close to the person. If you just do it formulaically, I think all the poskim would say it doesn't make any sense. But if you do it because you want to be a better person, okay, let's say a weird thing that people don't do, you fast because you know somebody who's sick. I don't know people who do it. But the point of fasting is not that you get 10 points for fasting and now you can give it for a refuah shlema. The point of fasting is, while I fast, I'm becoming better. I don't speak Lashon Hara. I daven longer because I'm not eating today. I focus more on my learning. Those things matter, but shortcuts don't. All right? That's broadly my presentation on how we do this. There is Yisachar Zevulun. That may exist independently just as it did in Talmud Torah or as a real partnership where you're helping his learning. There is no such thing as buying merit. There is no such thing as buying Olam Haba and buying somebody's Zechuyos. They can't give it to you. You can't get it. But the more productive things that you do, the more that you do that partners with somebody who's doing something well, the more that your actions actually contribute to the world and to the growth and positive things, it all works.
Ellie, do you think?